Breadbox Media Programming is brought to you by...
Hi, I'm Scott Hahn, and I'd like to invite you personally to join me and Breadbox Media on August 24th in New Oxford, Pennsylvania, for a day of spiritual renewal. I'll be presenting three talks, one on St. Joseph, one on the sacrament of matrimony, and another one on the Holy Eucharist. Learn more and register at breadboxmedia.com/PA conference. I hope to see you there.
Introducing the redesigned CatholicSingles.com, featuring new ways that put the spotlight on the person and their faith, not just a profile picture. For the past 20 years, faithful Catholics have used CatholicSingles.com, and the reimagined CatholicSingles.com website is ready to help single Catholics take the next step in sharing meaningful relationships with other faithful Catholics. Remember, CatholicSingles.com for faith, fellowship, and love.
Well, thanks for being with us this weekend. We're especially glad you're here. If you wouldn't consider yourself a church person or religious person, and this is your first time, you're relatively new to the parish, we invite you to stop by the Next Steps kiosk out on the concourse when we're finished today. There we can tell you how to get the most out of your weekend experience. We can give you a tour if you're interested, and we even have a free gift to thank you for being with us today. And today is the fourth week of a series we're calling Ordinary Everyday Miracles. When we began the series a few weeks ago, we talked about how we want to believe in God, we want to believe in His goodness, but from time to time, our faith gets low. So we're trying to fill up our faith tanks in this series, and we're doing that by looking at some of the miracles in the Gospel of Mark. So in the first week, we looked at this miracle of the healing of a paralyzed man, and we discovered a few things about faith. The first was this, that faith perseveres. In that story, we were told that these four guys try to get their friend to Jesus so He can heal them, but they're met by some obstacles, but they overcome these obstacles, and their friend gets healed. So we too, when it comes to obstacles in life, faith perseveres through them. Second week, also in that week, we talked about how we need friends in faith. That guy is healed because his friends bring him to Jesus. There are times in which our faith in God, it wanes, it weakens. There's times in which it's difficult for us to believe in God or God's goodness towards us. And that's why we need some friends in faith to carry us through those difficult times. It's why we're so big on small groups here. So if you're not in a small group, this fall is the time to join. There's an event coming up Thursday, September 4th. You can sign up on our website, churchnativity.com. 2 weeks ago, we looked at storms and problems. And we looked at this story where it's Jesus calms a storm at sea. And we said that storms measure and strengthen our faith. When we're in a storm, when we're in a problem, it shows us how much more we need to grow in faith and trust in God, as well as their opportunity to strengthen our faith if we'll lean into God and see God work in those problems. And last week, we looked at this story of the multiplication of the loaves and fishes. Jesus takes 5 loaves and 2 fish, and He feeds 5,000 people. And we learned about faith in that message, about faith does the possible and believes God to do the impossible. In the account from Mark, we learned that the apostles did what they could do. They find out what food they have. They organize the crowd in groups of 50s and 100s. They distribute the food. All those things were things under their control. And then Jesus does the impossible. He feeds 5,000 people with 5 loaves and 2 fish. So we're going to look at another passage today, another miracle that Jesus performs. And today we're going to talk about demons, demon possession, and the deliverance of evil spirits. It's a very light topic for a Sunday in August. And I know that some of you are thinking right now, like, are you kidding me? Evil spirits? He's going to talk about evil spirits. I don't believe in evil spirits. And let me try to give a little bit of voice to your pushback, and then I'm going to push back as well. And I understand it's not a fair fight because I got the microphone, but I'm going to kind of give a little bit of my pushback, and then we'll go on with the message. So first of all, some people would say, all right, isn't that just kind of superstitious? Isn't that kind of medieval? Haven't we moved past that? I mean, hasn't science disproved the existence of evil spirits? To which I would say to you, no, they haven't. Science cannot prove nor disprove whether evil spirits exist, because science studies the natural. It studies the physical world. That's what the discipline studies. And so by its very nature, it can't prove nor disprove evil spirits. That's spiritual, not physical. And so when it comes to evil spirits, that's more of a philosophical or theological discussion, but not a scientific one. Yeah, but, you know, Jesus performs these miracles in the Gospels, and he drives out demons and unclean spirits. But some would argue, don't we now know because of scientific advances that really those unclean spirits, those demons, were either psychological problems, and now we've diagnosed that through psychology and psychosis, or they were chemical imbalance, and now through modern medicine and prescriptions, we kind of know how to deal with that. To which I would say, look, I believe in psychology, I believe in counseling and therapy, certainly make use of that. I believe in modern medicine and certainly make use of it myself, and if prescription drugs can help with chemical imbalance, totally believe in that. And I believe in evil spirits. They're not mutually exclusive. You can believe in all of that. And besides, with all the advances in psychology and medicine, we still have a lot of problems in the world that we really can't quite understand, and I think some of them might be because of evil spirits. Now, the third thing, people might say, okay, I actually kind of believe in evil spirits, even though I'd be scared to admit it in our culture, but I really do, but now I'm a little scared you're even talking about that, because when you start talking about evil spirits, people start to see them everywhere. I mean, look at the Salem witch trials. I mean, that can get really crazy, really weird, really fast. And I can agree with that. I agree. There's really two mistakes we can make with evil spirits and demons. Is that one, we can make too much of them, or two, we can make too little. And I would submit to you that in our culture, it's probably we're more tempted to do the latter, to make too little of them, to not think about them at all. As was said in that great theological movie, The Usual Suspects, the greatest trick the devil ever pulled was to convince us he didn't exist. And you know, again, when it comes to those fears, again, people might say, well, you're going to start seeing spirits where they don't exist. You know, in medicine, when medical students study diseases, they start seeing the diseases in themselves, even though they don't have them. I remember studying cancer, like I have a chapter in a science class in middle school, and we talked about cancer and the symptoms of cancer, and I remember for like a week, I was checking myself out every day. Do I have these symptoms? And of course, again, it was just because it was put in my head. But we don't say, hey, medical school should stop teaching about diseases because medical students might think they have them. No, we want medical students to know about the diseases so they can be aware of them and spot them when they see them. Exactly. Same thing I would say about evil spirits. And one last thing about that fear thing. My goal today is not to make you afraid. In fact, my goal is not to magnify evil spirits. My goal is to magnify actually the power and authority that we have in Jesus Christ, to magnify the authority of Jesus Christ in your life and his power. Now, when it comes to the spiritual life, our hearts, we all have a spirit, we have a heart, we have a soul, we have that, and there's like a door to that. And whatever spirit we let in, we need to let in through that door. So, for example, in the book of Revelation, Jesus says this. He says, behold, I stand on the door and I knock. I knock at the door to your heart and I ask you to come in. And if you will let me come in, I will dine with you and I will have a relationship with you again. I will bring you joy and peace. But Jesus says he doesn't just come in. He knocks on the door like a good friend or a good neighbor. They respect your boundaries. They knock on the door. They let you invite them in. Now, while Jesus respects our boundaries and respects that door to our heart, evil spirits, they do not. And so there are ways in which we can leave our hearts open, leave the door open to our hearts so that they come in and they don't wait to be invited. A thief or a robber does not wait to be invited into your house. They come in if there's an open opportunity. So there's a few ways in which we can let that influence into our hearts. One is through what I call spiritual doors, things like Ouija boards and psychics or tarot cards and things like that. And those are all just bad news. Stay away from them. And if you've ever engaged in any of that, I would go to confession and just confess that and move on. But stay away from those things. Now, another way we can let evil spirits kind of in is through habitual sin. We do a sin over and over again. That kind of opens a door. The third way I want to talk to you about is something called agreements. That agreements are lies we believe. They're lies we believe about God, about ourselves, or others. And we kind of make these agreements and we believe those lies, and that allows us a kind of spirit in. So we can believe lies about God. We believe that God is really not for us, or that God is mad at us, or that God is angry at us, or that, again, God wants something from us and not something for us. We can believe lies about ourselves. We can believe that we are failures. We can believe that our shame and our guilt define us. We can believe, you know, that we are victims, or in fact, kind of in short, that either we come to believe from evil spirits that we are losers, or that we are all alone and all on our own in this world. Or we can believe lies about others, where there's things that are presented to us that just are not true about others, but we misinterpret their actions or their statements to think negatively about them. So these are agreements we can make. And what's important is for once we let those agreements in to then drive them out and get rid of them. So that's what we're looking at today. And we're going to do that by briefly looking at the Gospel of Mark, the fifth chapter. Now, to give a little bit of context there, you need to go back a couple weeks. Two weeks ago, when we talked about Jesus calming the storm at sea, and he says to the apostles, hey, let's cross over to the other side. And the other side, again, they're going to get into a boat and cross over the Sea of Galilee and go to the land of the Gerasenes. So Jesus and the apostles, they get in the boat, they go through the storm, the apostles think they're going to die, Jesus calms the storm, and then they get over to the land of the Gerasenes. And the apostles, they step off the boat into the land of the Gerasenes, and they're thinking, let's get back in the boat. Because it's immediately very eerie. They see all these tombs, and it's just an eerie sight. Ever have that experience? And I don't mean just like in the basement as a little kid being scared of going down in the dark. I mean like you step it into an environment and like, this is off. Something's not right. My wife Mia had that experience post-college when, you know, early 20s. She was going out with some college friends to a bar. They went to this bar. They stepped in. Within 5 minutes, they're like, we need to get out of here. Something's not right here. There is a spirit that's not right. Ever have that? Well, why'd you have it? Because there are some spirits that are just not right, that are evil spirits. So the apostles, they step off and they feel this right away. And then the scene gets worse because they step off into the land of the Gerasenes and we're told, and when he, that means Jesus, but all the apostles had come out of the boat, there met him out of the tombs a man with an unclean spirit who lived among the tombs. And no one could bind him anymore, even with a chain. So this guy cannot even be bound by chains and shackles, we're told. For he had often been bound with shackles and chains, but the chains he wrenched apart and the shackles he broke in pieces, and no one had the strength to subdue him. Night and day among the tombs on the mountains, he was always shrieking out and bruising himself with stones. Notice the raw and brutal language that Mark uses here. He's wrenched apart, broken pieces, shrieking out, bruising himself with stones. The image of God has completely been scarred in this man. So much so that he's out of control, more like an animal. The passage continues and tells us, Jesus had said to him, come out of him, you unclean spirit. So the image that Mark paints for us is as soon as Jesus gets off the boat, he sees this guy possessed by this unclean spirit, and he just makes a beeline towards him. He goes towards him and saying, come out of him, come out of him, come out of him. Jesus is not afraid of evil. Like the firefighters and the policemen, the 9/11, you know, when the World Trade Center was collapsing, and those guys that ran into there to save people, Jesus is the same thing. Jesus is not afraid of evil. He runs at it. He goes at it to save people, to destroy it. So Jesus is not afraid of this evil. He's saying, come out of him, come out of him. But the evil spirit, it's not coming out of him. It's not working yet. So then Jesus asks a question. He says, what is your name? See, what Jesus is figuring this out, he's like, okay, the spirit did not come out when I commanded him at first, so now there's more to this I got to figure out. And this is very important when it comes to this, as we see in the Gospels and in other passages of Scripture, the name is really important. And the name is often a reflection of whatever impact it's having on us. Worry, anger, pride, self-criticism, self-rejection, self-hatred. Those are some of the spirits that can come at us. And we can let in. And so Jesus knows that in order to defeat the spirit, to exercise the authority he does have it, he needs to know the spirit's name. And the spirit says, my name is Legion, for we are many. Now, Legion was a number of Roman soldiers. Over 5,000 Roman soldiers made up a legion. So this guy doesn't just have a problem or a busload of problems. He's got a whole caravan of problems, a whole big, huge problem. Passage continues, and we're told, now a great herd of swine was feeding there on the hillside, and they begged him, send us to the swine, let us enter them. See, this is important to note. As soon as Jesus knows the name, The demons know they're cooked. They're done. Jesus is going to defeat them. So they asked Jesus to send them into these swine. There's about 2,000 swine there. And why do they ask to send them into the swine? We're not really sure. It's kind of different theories. But they ask him, Jesus, to send them into the swine now that they know he's going to defeat them. And we're told, so Jesus gave them leave, and the unclean spirits came out and entered the swine. That's it. There's like no turning of the head. There's no like spewing out of green pea soup, you know. Just Jesus gave them leave and they left. That's it. And so they go into the swine. The swine, for whatever reason, again, don't really know for sure, but go mad and they go running off the cliff into the sea. And then we're told, the herdsmen fled and told it in the city and the country, and people came to see what it was that had happened. So there were herdsmen that were taking care of these pigs, these swine, and when they go running off into the cliff, they go and tell everybody, like, something just happened. So crowds of people start coming around to see what had happened, and were told, and they came to Jesus, saw the demoniac sitting there clothed and in his right mind, the man who had the legion. So a couple weeks ago, we talked about the calming of the storm. And one minute, the wind is howling. The waves are rocking the boat. The water is filling the boat. It is an incredibly violent storm. The next minute, peace and calm. One minute, this guy is totally out of control. And the next minute, he's in his right mind. He's clear. He's lucid. And what is the impact this has to the crowd? And they were afraid. They were afraid. Why? Because they saw in this man possessed by these demons something they could not control. This was something so powerful. I mean, they had tried to chain him up and they could not stop him. And now Jesus comes. He's even more powerful. And that scares them. It scares them because they don't know, they don't understand that in Jesus we have the most powerful person in the world. We have Jesus' incredible power and authority, but he combines that with compassion and love and kindness and tenderheartedness. But they couldn't understand how those two characteristics could come together in one person. So they're afraid. And those who had seen it told what happened to the demoniac and to the swine. And so we're told, then they began to beg him to leave their district. They are so afraid of Jesus, they say, please go. We can't take it. We can't take you. So what does Jesus do? He gets back in the boat. It's all right. I respect your decision. Jesus goes to get back in the boat. He has seemingly come all this way, crossed the Sea of Galilee, gone through a storm, all for one guy. And so Jesus goes to get back in the boat. The apostles are probably like thinking, that's it, and that's it. And then the guy that had been possessed by this legion of demons, he tries to get back in the boat with Jesus. And of course, Jesus says, yeah, come along. I could use, you know, we could use somebody to carry the bags. Come along. These guys are kind of dim-witted. They seem not to get it. Maybe you'll get it quicker. You know, of course you can come with us. Nope. But Jesus would not permit him and told him instead, go home to your friends and tell them how much the Lord has done for you and how he has had mercy on you. Jesus said, I want you to go back. I want you to tell your story. And I want you to tell the difference that I've made in your life. Because this crowd, this group of people, I love them, I care about them, but they're not quite ready for me yet. They're scared by me, but they're not scared of you. And you tell your story. Because people, they can argue with your beliefs, they can argue with the creed, but they cannot argue with your story. And so the guy goes back and does it. But I would submit to you, maybe there's some people in your life who are too scared of Jesus, but they can hear your story. They can hear the impact that Jesus has made in your life. And so the passage does conclude in this way. This is what the guy does. Then the man went off and began to proclaim in the Decapolis, which was another name for this area of the world, to proclaim in the Decapolis what Jesus had done for him, and all were amazed. They listened to him. And the incredible thing is this, a few chapters later in the Gospel of Mark, Jesus comes back to the very same land, the very same place. And this time, the crowd of people that had been had told Jesus to leave, that had begged him to leave, the very same people come back to him to hear him preach and teach and to get to know him. All because of one guy. And because he shared his story. And Jesus worked in his life. So this is the thing we learned a little bit about faith today, is that this faith grows when shared. Faith grows when shared. That when we are willing to share our faith with others, we grow in our faith. We come to a greater and deeper appreciation for what Jesus has done in our lives. And we can make an impact on others. We can lead communities of people into a relationship with God because we're willing to share our faith. So what do we kind of do with this story and this passage today? Kind of go, how do we apply it? Well, I believe Jesus wants to make a difference in your life because once he makes a difference in your life, it doesn't just touch your life, it touches everyone else's life. And so, is there a way in which you feel shackled or chained? Is there a way in which maybe you're struggling to sleep at night and you wake up at night a few different times, sleepless nights, and it's not like you ate something you shouldn't have eaten or had caffeine too late. It's like something's really bothering you and bugging you. Is it maybe, possibly, maybe you've even tried some counseling or you've tried some prescriptions and just that isn't work. Maybe it's the spirit, this lie you've let into your heart that's just, you need to get out. And even if you don't believe in unclean spirits, I'm just going to get, you can get it out. You don't even need to believe in unclean spirits. You probably know it by its fruit. You know it's anger. You know it's worry. You know it's fear. You know it by its fruit. And what would you have to lose to just try this? It's a very simple plan to get it out. Number one, you identify the spirit. Again, if you don't believe in the spirit, that's fine today, but you know, I know I can't make an argument for spirits in a 20-minute message that's complete and full, but it, you know, whatever it is, if say, identify the spirit. You identify it by its fruit. You say it's fear, it's anger, it's pride. It's self-hatred. What you identify what it is in your heart that you have let in. Second, you command it to leave your heart. You say, worry, in the name of Jesus Christ and his power and authority, I command you to leave my heart. Fear, in the name of Jesus Christ, by his authority and power, I command you to leave my heart. Self-hatred, self-rejection, I command you. In the name of Jesus, leave my heart. You have no place there. And third, you ask God's Holy Spirit to come in and fill you with the opposite. Say, Holy Spirit, fill me with peace. Fill me with joy. Fill me with love and kindness. Fill me with an understanding of your love for me, the love God has for me in the person of Jesus Christ. Because our hearts, our souls, they're kind of like we have rooms there. And so when we kick one spirit out, we want to bring in God's Holy Spirit in to fill us with love and joy and peace. So again, this is something you can do today. This is something simple as can be. And again, maybe you've tried counseling, tried drugs. This is something you can do today. So why not give it a try? What do you have to lose? Because this is what I do know. Jesus, he wants to heal your heart. He wants to drive out all those emotions, those spirits that shackle you and chain you. And in changing you, it'll impact everybody else you meet. Because faith grows when shared. Let me pray for us. Father, we thank you for the person of Jesus Christ. We thank you that in Jesus, we have both authority and the power, the all-powerful, and the kindness and love and compassion. So Heavenly Father, we pray that you would help us to use this message however you think we need to. Father, help us to identify what is the spirit maybe we have let in, the agreements, the lies we have allowed into our heart that we have believed that just are not true. Help us to identify them. Give us the courage to drive them out, to say they have no place in our hearts, and to invite your Holy Spirit into our hearts. We make this prayer through Christ our Lord. Amen. I invite you to stand for our closing song.
Hello, this is International Catholic Singer Anna Nuzzo, inviting you to join me and Father Dan Cambra of the Marian Fathers on a select international tour's Divine Mercy pilgrimage to Poland and the Czech Republic. It takes place in September of 2019, and we would love for you to join us. For more information, go to my website, annanuzzo.com. Thank you, and God bless.
Breadbox Media Programming is brought to you by Jack Kane Ford. Find your next Ford Tough vehicle at caneford.com.